This morning we are continuing our series in the Gospel according to Matthew, turning to Matthew chapter 7, if you'd like to follow along as we read God's Word together. As you turn there, I remind you that we believe the Bible to be the Word of God. It is inerrant. It is our only infallible rule of faith and practice. And though the grass withers and the flowers fade away, the Word of our God will stand forever. I'm reading from the English Standard Version, Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 21. Hear the word of the Lord. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name? And then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Father in heaven, I ask this morning that you would use a very crooked stick to point the way to the straight and narrow. In Jesus' name, amen. I told Jared this morning, it just feels exactly like it did July the 14th after our church fire. A unthinkable event happens that no one would predict. A sleepless night. And nothing I would rather do than come and be in the house of the Lord with my brothers and sisters in Christ. This is one of those events that we'll remember for life. And yet, in God's providence, we have a passage before us this morning that brings first and foremost to mind the most important question of life. Life is fickle. Life is fleeting. Life is so brief. Life can turn on a dime in the providence of God. But ultimately, the question before us is our relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the most important thing in life. And I think this is one of the most sobering passages in all of Scripture. Jesus is describing here people who are staking their eternity, staking their eternal life on a creedal affirmation. They are staking eternity on what they say about Jesus, which hits very close to home. Because I think most of us would describe ourselves in that same way. We are staking our eternity on what we affirm about Jesus to be true. And what Jesus is saying here is there are people who have a very orthodox confession of faith. They confess Jesus as Lord, Lord. In the context of God as Father and Jesus as Judge, Lord is a divine title. Jesus is saying there are people who will confess the divinity of Jesus. And it's a very accurate confession of faith. It's a very orthodox confession of faith. And not only do they have an orthodox confession of faith, but they confess it with fervency. This is not cold. This is not formal. This is an enthusiastic Lord, Lord. Look how many times he says this. Lord, 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 in your name, in your name, in your name, Lord, Lord. There is strength there. There's zeal there. There's repetition there. And it's not private. This is a public confession. Orthodox folks confessing Jesus as Lord with zealousness and doing so publicly. And as I read that, I just think, what better Christian profession of faith could be given? Here are people who call Jesus Lord with orthodoxy, enthusiasm. They do it publicly. What could be wrong with that? And yet, perhaps the most chilling statement in all of Scripture, verse 23, Jesus says, I will declare to them, I never knew you. I never knew you. They make a confession of faith, an affirmation, a profession, and Jesus returns with an affirmation, a profession, a legal declaration, I never knew you. They used his name so freely, so fervently, so with such orthodoxy. But their name is unknown to him. Let me make 2 points. I think there are 2 basic lessons in spiritual discernment here that are critical. First is this. I think Jesus is very clearly indicating here that your final destiny will not be settled by what you say, but whether your verbal profession is accompanied by an internal change of the heart, an internal rebirth, an internal change of person. I think that is the running theme through the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is critically concerned with what's going on in the inner person. Now, of course, a verbal profession of faith is absolutely critical. Let me just share one passage with you in the book of Romans that I think is making the same basic point. In Romans chapter 10, Paul says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, so you will be saved. So there's 2 critical components to that. Yes, you must make an orthodox profession about who you say Jesus is. Confess Jesus with your mouth that he is Lord. But absolutely critical for that to make any kind of eternal difference, he says, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. I think the reason that Jesus is warning about this group of people who were very orthodox and fervent in their public profession of faith, I think the reason he is warning them here is because there are people in every generation that will give lip service only to Jesus. That will give just a verbal bare minimum, words without reality, talk without truth, profession without fruit. It's their lips only. It's not their life. Jesus wants your life. We can call Jesus Lord, but not know him as Lord. In Luke's account, there's even a stronger verbiage there. He says in Luke 6:46, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you?" The vital difference is between saying and doing. And for the heart that has truly been transformed by the work of the Holy Spirit, there will be fruit. Faith without works is dead. Works without faith is dead. I don't know how to be any clearer about that. Jesus insists that our final destiny will not be settled just by what we say. But here's a second point. And maybe this is even more striking. It is possible to do some astounding things and even do them in the name of Jesus and yet be a total stranger to God's saving grace. And to make the point, Jesus cites some of the most extreme examples here. He's describing people who have a supernatural ministry. They're prophesying. They're exorcising demons. They're working miracles. Lord, we prophesied in your name. We cast out demons in your name. We did mighty works in your name. Those are extreme examples of some really good works. Spectacular works. But friends, great works, spectacular works, those don't grant entrance into the kingdom of God. I have known believers or people who profess to believe who just put way too much emphasis on works. In fact, I think the spectacular signs can call our attention away from the more pressing issues that he's been hammering home in this sermon, chapters 5 and 6, obedience to Christ, sincere prayer, selfless giving to the poor, a willingness to deny self and travel the narrow road, the narrow gate. I think the warning here is pay more attention to the heart. Pay less attention to the big performances and the showy stuff. Jesus wants your heart. The gospel has so much more to say about the power of Christ changing our characters than it does about the power of Christ doing flashy works. And the church, frankly, just misses that a lot of times, I think. When I read of Jesus in the Gospels, I read of a man who is not primarily a wonder worker, but he is a Savior. He delivers us from sin. He transforms us from the inside out. He bears fruit in us that is a sure and certain sign of one of his true disciples. And it's not a faith that is just based on mere lip service. It's not a faith that is based on just busyness and showiness and flashiness in his name. It is a faith that supernaturally transforms one from the inside out. And so I think the sobering message here to those of us who claim to be Christians, to those of us who have made a profession of faith publicly, fervently, and very orthodox, baptized, confirmed, we come, we recite the creeds, we sing the hymns, we say our prayers, we exercise a whole variety of ministries in his name. We support outstanding missionaries in his name. But friends, Jesus is not impressed with our pious sounding words. Jesus is not impressed with our extraordinary works, as worthy of praise as they are. Jesus wants your heart. And what matters is the reality of your commitment to Him. He wants your heart. He wants your mind. The question this morning, posed by our passage, is, do you know Christ? Is your faith real? And the answer to that does not depend on what you say, Lord, Lord. The answer to that does not depend on your good works. We did that in His name. We did that in His name. It depends on your relationship with Jesus. Humble repentance and faith in Jesus Christ is the door to eternal life. Every human being must say, I am a sinner. I am unable to please God. And throw yourself at the mercy of Jesus Christ, who can save sinners because He is God. He can save sinners because He bore our sins on the cross as our substitute. And He took the punishment that is due to us. He can save because He rose from the dead and showed His power over the last enemy of death. Jesus saves. Admit your need of salvation. Trust in Him. Bow to Him as Lord. And ask Him to reveal the state of your heart and save you. Whoever comes to Me, I will never drive away. Father in heaven, we thank You for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank You for the grace that You show to us despite our undeserving. And Father, I pray that this day we would soberly reflect on our condition before You and receive the gift of eternal life that is ours in Jesus Christ alone. We pray these things in His holy name. Amen.